much as being here to raise our voice, just praising you. We love you, and we know you love us. And we also know you present in this room. You watch our worship service. So I pray that from our heart, when we raise our voice, when we're singing, when we praise you, you would please. Everything we do for your glory, Father. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Some of you, if you know the history, or if you study history, roughly about 748 years ago, in the year 1229, when the Mongol or Khan controlled the whole kingdom, Asia. So Khan, he sent a request from Asia to Rome. He requests, please send us 100 wise men as a Christian, the believer of Jesus Christ, came to Asia, sent to Asia. And the Khan at that time said, I shall be baptized. And when I shall be baptized, on my baron and on our great people, we be baptized. And all the people of the nation will be baptized. So there will be more Christians here than there are in your parts of the world. So we're talking about 746 years ago. At that moment in time, the Mongol very much make the choice, follow Christ or Buddha. But they make the decision to follow Christ. So that's the reason why they send the request to Rome. But sadly, the Pope at that time is Gregory the X. Answer the request by sending two monks. And the history, you already know the history. So it's supposed to be the great revival in the Asia spread on the way to other parts of the world. However, it's not happened. So now 2017, again, possibility the revival would happen. We know it's already happened in the part of Africa. The movement of the Holy Spirit already moved through Africa and moved across China and then now going down to Malaysia, Indonesia, and probably that part of the world. But however, if you review back the history, and somehow the revival very much like going down in America. So again, I pray to God. I don't know other churches, but I pray to God, to our church. And I pray in the 2 to 5 years, we send out 100, and they're very specific. I make the 108 people from our church go across the nation, USA, America, and trigger the revival. Yes, I know other church, they may send up people, but at least our church, all of you in this room. Not only, you know, I praise the Lord last Sunday, the Ivory Coast Mission, you know, the worship in French, roughly about 24 people. So on the third meeting, so the Ivory African speaking French grew gospel to the French speaking people in America. And some of you, I'm so glad, you know, some of you from Nigeria, you speak English, spread the gospel in English, and all of you in this room, all of you understand English, you spread the gospel across the nation in English. And of course, some of the Vietnamese, some of them can speak two languages. We do in Vietnamese and English. And our church, we're so blessed. We have one person know how to speak Spanish. We train that person, and then the ministry in Spanish will be go out, regardless. Okay? Because if one impact one, the gospel will spread around the world. We have three people know how to speak Chinese, Mandarin. In training right now, and we spread the gospel in America for all the Chinese who can understand Mandarin. But I'm very, very specific, 108. Don't tell me why I come up with that number. I'm sorry, 106 people. 8 plus 16 plus 8. 14? Well, anyway, a little bit over 100 people. So I pray to God within 3 to 5 years, we do that. And if you notice, in this room, only like, you know, all of you is only like 30-something people, but I'm intentionally set up 264 chairs in this room. So at least when I'm standing from the pulpit, I can see on the empty chair. And so every day when I come to church, when I pray, on the chair would have the people in there. And the revival movement had to be from your own individual, but it's also have to happen at the church. And that, the question, or that the message or the command from Christ is to the church, individual. So I don't want to look back, just like when I'm studying history, and have the question, what if thing happened, and then what? So you know, you want to go through this life and say, at least whatever Christ put in our heart to do something, and we accomplish whatever the mission Christ assigned to us. So that reason why, when you study the book of Acts chapter 3, you would understand that so many times we may pass the opportunity to tell the people of Jesus Christ because our fear. The third chapter of the book, Peter and John were presented a unique opportunities, the lame beggar, ask them for money. But instead, they heal him and enable him to walk again. The resulting of that event, it drew a large crowd. And to Peter's credit, he took advantage of the opportunity and told them about Jesus. So a couple of weeks ago, we studied chapter 1, chapter 2, and now we study chapter 3. So I pick Acts chapter 3, verse 19, one verse, and hopefully you will remember or meditate for the whole week. Because that verse talking about repent, therefore be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So that time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So meditate on this verse for the whole week. So the opportunity can come to you and just share the gospel and let the Lord do the work. Three things I want to present to you based on the passage. You would see the destitute beggar. And definitely a miracle happened at that point in time. And the decisive opportunity, it happened if we see it. So let's go one by one. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. So I give the map of the temple at that time, and you see the red arrows that were the beautiful gate. Okay? And the first circle is very much like the woman court. And the circle from the outside, okay, that they call it Gentile. Okay, and they go inside, you will see the man court, and then where the priest and the high building that where the high priest coming in. So you have very much the how things lay out at the temple at that time. So what happened? Because you see Peter and John, they went to the temple. That their normal life is very much. In chapter 2, the Holy Spirit ascending on them, so he shared the message like 1,000 people came to Christ. Okay? And the next chapter, they went to the temple, just like a routine. It was an hour prayer, roughly about 3 o'clock. And you would find out the Jews, they designate a time for prayer, and they usually gather at the temple, just like us. It's just like Sunday, we designate the time, okay? And the children of God gather together in this temple and worship God. But we didn't pick 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You pick 10 o'clock, 10:05, whatever that time, okay? But the designated time for the people gather together to pray, to worship God, okay? And what happened? They encountered the beggar. If you study the book of Leviticus chapter 21, the rule at that time, the people who not, they call it complete. So like the blind, the lame, whatever happened to their body, physical body, they cannot go into the temple. Okay? So very much the lame, the beggar, very much like the outcast, stay outside of the temple. He cannot come in. So the tradition at that time, it's just like you go to some temple, you see a lot of beggars outside and beg for money. And that's the means of living. So he at the gate called Beautiful Gate. And according to Josephus, one of the historians at that point in time, the Beautiful Gate is very much built and used the material from the city of Corinthians. It's supposed to be the best of the best, whatever material they use. So you have to imagine it had to be very, very beautiful. So that reason why they call it Beautiful Gate. So that's the background what happened. But again, when I'm studying this passage, the beggar, he probably 40-something odd years old. So 40 years, believe it or not, he went to the church. Think about it. He went to the church, but instead of go inside the church where the priest, where the place he can worship, he, as a beggar, stayed outside of the church. So 40 years, people bring him into the church. Okay, and he asked for something, but reality, he not even worship God when he come to the church. So it's reminding me, if we're not careful, sometimes we go to the church, but it's not the purpose of worship, but different purpose. And then we just like the beggar, go to the church for 40 years. I don't know. 5 days a week or once a week, I don't know. But it looked like go to church, but it's still outside the church. I'm talking about outside the worship and beg for something. And we're not careful, we may be just like this person. But the story talking about Peter looked straight at him as did John, and Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them all his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what do I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. Instantly the man's feet and ankle became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. What exactly going on here? Okay. He outside the temple. He go to the church, but he not allowed to go inside to worship God. So something had to happen. And he only begged for money. But Peter said, the money, the gold, silver, gold, I do not have. It doesn't mean they not having money. But however, he understand that there is something better to offer to this person. So that reason why he said, "But what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ, Nazareth, walk." So what exactly he has? He has Jesus Christ. It's something better to offer to this beggar. Okay? And he very much helped this person through the miracle, through Christ, and this person healed and walked. Not only just walked, but also jumped up and down for joy. He dancing for joy. The same thing, when I look around us, a lot of people, they may want to go to the church to worship God, but they're still outside of the church. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we not allow them to come in to worship. Because I may just ask for something and say, oh, you ask, so you stay outside. So what can we have to offer? So you have to have something to offer beyond just silver and gold or the money or the food or whatever. So we have to know Peter and John, they have Christ. They have the Holy Spirit. They are Christ's disciple. So that reason why they have to have Christ in their heart so they can offer that to the beggar. So the question I would ask each one of you, do you have Christ in your heart? Because if you have Christ in your heart, the Holy Spirit will reside in your heart, so you have overcome the fear, you can overcome fear, and you have the strength, and you have the authority, and you have the energy, and the power to help the people. And that's what is meant over here. So you would find out, when he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Nazareth, Peter was quickly give the glory to whom it belongs. Because the power, the authorities belong to Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. And that name has the power. And sometimes we doubt of Jesus Christ, his name. So will you, in my name, I bless you? No. Trust me, we don't have that authority and the power. We have to have Christ in our heart. When the Holy Spirit works in our heart, you can sense the need of the people. So you can pray for that people, okay, and help the people get out of the lame situation or critical situation, and they can, that person can walk and can jump up and down for joy, dancing for joy. Because if in the heart of the people, if they don't have that choice in their heart, they can fake outside, but reality is still very, very bad. Okay? So that reason with the choice in your heart when you have Christ and with the help of the Holy Spirit, you link up with the source of joy and the source of love through Christ. And that will be from inside and it get outside. And the people can sense that to change. And I know it's a couple of family, a member of the family, our church, they not believe in Christ yet. And they fight crisis, and one person commit suicide last week, okay, live in Dallas and commit suicide, okay? So people say, oh, sad for this person, how bad, or why, whatever. But again, when I hear about that situation, I see the opportunity, because this person have that empty heart, something is missing in his heart. And he needs Christ. Not only the love of Jesus Christ fill up his heart so he can have the choice from the inside and so it can be, you know, expressed to the outside. And that's the only way to heal that person. Because this person, roughly about over 40 years old, something like that, and nobody know. You know, outside look real good, good job, and all of that stuff. And suddenly something happened. So from as a human being, yes, you feel sad, the emptiness of your heart, and then you can, you can survive a week, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and something happened, some crisis happened in their life, and suddenly, you know, they couldn't handle it, and the whole thing collapsed. And that's what happened. And so many people happened like that, okay, for them. It's just like not long ago, one of our church members called me and said, Pastor, I said, what happened? A friend of mine, this girl had a boyfriend and somehow they break up and the boyfriend gets so mad and get the gun and just shoot in the house and Pastor, can you come over and witness to this person? Okay. Witness to this person and bring them to Christ, because if they have no Christ, and then, you know, some murdering will happen. So on the phone, I say, number one, call the police first. Okay. Get that person to control first. Okay. Don't come over there. Call 911. Get the police. Get this person to control. And then we will come and help. But when they're shooting like that, don't do it. Don't jump out there and say, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, stop shooting. No, don't do that. Again, you need to understand is Christ. The Lord also gave us the wisdom how to handle it. Yes, he said, yet I will protect you, but if the bullet go through your body, it will go through your body. Okay? Even though he says, the Lord will shield me, but if the gun about like that, and the chance of the bullet go through you is very high. Okay, don't take risk for that. Just call 911 and call the police. And then when the situation under control, I will be there and help, okay, when things calm down. But not when the gun shoot going on like that. Again, but you understand what I'm trying to communicate to you. A lot of people out there, is that their heart's empty. Okay, they go through life, maybe, you know, 20 years, 30 years, and then something happened, the whole thing collapsed. And I saw so many cases like that. It happened, not only for men, but also for women. But everything we do, we have to give the glory to the Lord. So the decision had to be made when the opportunity came. And we study Peter, you see like this. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as a sad man who used to sit begging at the temple gates, come beautiful. And they were filled with the wonder and amazement of what had happened to him. So what happened? The people saw him walk into the temple. Here, the person, you know, for 30 years, 40 years, I don't know how long, they go to church and saw the person back there. And suddenly, he walked into the temple. Just say, he walked into the church. People, ooh, you, how dare you? And I say, wait a minute. Okay, based on Leviticus, when you heal, you can walk, you can be in the temple. So it's mean people saw him walk into the temple. He no stranger than them. Probably they seen him for many times. Probably they are the one who given him the money, the food, whatever, every day. But one thing, they could not deny he had been healed. Okay, something happened. Some miracle happened. You would comprehend this. A healthy man can pretend to be lame, but the lame man cannot pretend to walk. Okay? We can fake lame, but the lame person cannot fake walk. So the miracle had to happen. And at moment in time, Peter, he took opportunity to tell the crowds about Jesus. So what he did, what exactly did he do? He took the lame man and the crowd to go outside of the Solomon porch, because he cannot discuss inside the church because it's great chaos. So he moved outside Solomon Court, it means outside the beautiful gate there, the court there, so the people gathering him around so he can share the message. So the people follow because they want to know what's going on. Okay? And he preached to the people about Jesus. But when you study from verse 13 and on the way down to verse 19, what exactly he tried to communicate? He emphasized about Jesus died on the cross and how he resurrected in verse 13 and 15. And he called, just like verse 19, repent. So to share the message of the gospel is very simple. You have to experience that before you can share it. You share about Christ. Who is Christ? If you had to share the gospel, who is Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? Anybody want to stand up and try to answer the question? You share what you know. But if you say, I don't know who Christ is, and how do you share? So it's very much, very, very simple to help you to remember Jesus Christ. He's God. He's also man. 100% God, 100% man. So what did he do? He died on the cross. You say exactly. He died on the cross, and then what? And then he buried in the tomb for 3 days, and he resurrected. When he resurrected, and then he ascended into the heaven. Simple. And whoever believes in him have everlasting life. And then you call the people repent. So from the basic, extremely basic, you have to know Jesus Christ. And you share what you know. Okay? And that's what the gospel means. So within 30 seconds, if you read, you know, he only shared like about 2 minutes long. He talked about Christ, how he died on the cross, resurrected, and believe in him everlasting life, and ask the people to repent. Very, very simple message. And of course, a lot of people against him, but also a lot of people believe in him, in Jesus Christ, and come to him. This is the picture of the church, because if we're not careful, sometimes we go to the church, and a lot of expectation. Okay, don't talk about hell. Okay, talk about hell, it makes me uncomfortable. Okay. Please refer to sin as a bad choice. Sin is sin. Okay, sometimes, you know, you can sugarcoat sin. You call it bad choices, but still sin. Remember how much money I give to each week. So when we come to the Lord for worship, remember you come to him to worship him. Not because of other reason. Because anything else will fall in place. When you come to him, okay, with your heart and your soul and just worship him, and everything else will fall in place. So that reason why the expectation of worship, you have your personal worship every day, you come to him just with a humble heart and pray to him, praise him, and glorify him, and ask him to bless you, and everything else will happen. It makes your life easier. So the definition of the church has to be the church of movement. The church of movement. Okay? And I praise the Lord that our church is the movement church. It's not the sitting. And, you know, I pray the Lord on you only sit in this room like maybe maximum 30 or 40 minutes a week and sit in the Sunday school and study the Bible maybe 30 or 40 something minutes a week. But you have a whole week as a whole movement of Jesus Christ. Whatever you learn, you recharge, rejoice, and go out the world. Okay? And some of you have a lot of children, a lot of stress on to be the mom. So you pray the Lord to give you the strength. So you look at the kid when they're active and you rejoice because they're active. Think about it. If suddenly one day they just quiet and didn't do anything, something wrong. So you rejoice that they have the movement. And the same thing, our Lord, the Lord in heaven, when he looked down here, if the church is just like sleep or sick, not even move, something wrong. They just have to be a movement and make things happen to bring the glory of God to the people and bring the people to Christ. So that my picture of 116-something people is basically our church is the movement church. So each one of you, eventually, you have to have the heart of Christ in your heart. So you can impact your family. Family have to be number one. Take care of the family. Impact the family. Okay? Impact whatever your workplace, relative or whoever, workplace, and impact the community, Houston, eventually around the world. And that, we're talking about the movement church, the active church, not the sleeping church. Don't try to count 100, estimate 100 something up there. So three things I hope you will take with you. The desolate beggar, it means the people out there, they still live in darkness. They need Christ. The miracle only Christ to get the people out of the darkness. We don't even know what the darkness is. It can be the pain, the suffering, the sadness, something is missing. It's only Christ can do that. Opportunity, each one of us will have the opportunity to change life. Not only change life of the people, but also impact the people around us too. So let us stand up and read Acts chapter 3, verse 19. So hopefully you use this verse to meditate for the whole week, and then when you have the opportunity, and if you don't know how to call the people, just say, repent. Okay? And hopefully a couple words will come out from this and then help you to share the message and bring the people to Christ. Let's read together. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Get it? One more time to make sure, because some of you are still confused. Okay. Okay, may the word of the Lord with you, and meditate on this verse and use it when you have the opportunity come to you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much because your love. And I pray that you would give us the conviction so we can have your love in our hearts, so we can share the message of the gospel and bring the people to Christ, so they could have the hope, they could have the strength, and they can have the choice only you can provide. And Father, I also pray each one of us for the new week, we would have your blessing, and we would have on the thing you would prepare for us. So when we face some situation, we would understand and we know you always be with us. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be with all the people in this room from now and forever. Amen.